Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Radio EduTalk. My name's David Noble, and I'm in Dalgety Bay in Scotland, and delighted to have on the show with us this evening Professor Rosemary Sage, who's Professor of Education and Dean of the College of Teachers in London. And this evening, amongst maybe a couple of other things, we'll mostly be talking about the use of e-portfolios to improve teacher professionalism. So good evening, Rosie, and welcome to the show.
Oh, hello, David. Nice to be on the programme.
I'll just say at this point that if we have listeners to the live programme, there's two ways that you can get in touch with comments or questions for Professor Sage. You can email, you can give the dog a shout.
There's obviously a fox outside. We get a lot of foxes here, and the dogs go mad.
Oh, that's...
Sorry about that.
Just adds to the atmosphere. So you can email edutalk@hotmail.co.uk, or you can pop something up on Twitter and include the hashtag edutalk. So just before we hear about the PEEP project at the College of Teachers, would you mind just giving us a kind of brief background to your career in education and academia?
Yeah, well, I started as a speech and language therapist. You know, they're so rare. They say they're like Halley's Comet. You only see them once in 70 years. and I was quite frustrated because you could get children thinking and talking well in clinics, but when they got into schools, they suffered badly and were unable to cope with the formal talk situation there. So that led me to... go on and train as a teacher, and I ended up doing a master's in educational psychology and a doctorate in cognitive psychology. So I feel, and I really went, when I went into schools, people purloined me for doing work with special needs children. So it kind of was, you know, the basis of my career, really, because when I went to be an academic, I ended up by heading up the special needs department in the university. So that's where I've been, really. Mm-hmm. And I've been lucky in working with lots of other countries, because in the high-achieving countries, they're very interested with people who've got profiles in language and communication. So I've worked with the Cuban government, the Finnish government, the Japanese government, and I've done a lot of work in Czechoslovakia and Poland. So it's been a really amazing career in that respect, that I've had a lot of opportunities to work in other countries.
And so we'll just get right into it then, about e-portfolios and the project that the College of Teachers has led on. First of all, could you give us a kind of background to the PEEP project? I mean, obviously, e-portfolios for a number of years have been a kind of up-and-coming thing. So where did this all start from for yourselves?
Well, it all started because we were approached about looking at an initiative to improve and increase and help teacher professionalism. Of course, in the UK, there's been this great debate, hasn't there? Are teachers professionals? And the EU approached us, asking us whether we were prepared to lead on a project that looked at how to increase that. So we got together with seven other partners across Europe, and it was decided that one of the best things we could do was produce a career tracking tool. And PEEP actually stands for Policy for Education Evidence in Portfolios. And since 2011, we've been creating a policy document and trying out a platform to look at how teachers respond to track their careers in an e-portfolio format. And it's been really interesting, because what we've done is we've actually raised a lot of issues, because, as you know, when teachers go for jobs, they normally do a CV and it just illustrates their formal qualifications. But on the PEEP project, we've actually argued for non-formal, which is what we would call planned activities that you might do in school, like a particular teaching approach that you've tried out successfully or a curriculum plan, and informal evidence such as when you run a club like a sports club or a drama club, it might teach you a lot of personal things that are useful to your job. So by arguing for evidence that's just not qualifications, you've got a rounder picture of a person, and that has definitely been positively accepted right across Europe. And also we've got away from selecting evidence according to standards, because standards vary so much over Europe, and also they are quite liable to change. So we've gone for principles like being appropriately qualified for your role, showing lifelong learning, mobility, which means connections with people nationally and internationally, perhaps through projects or visits, and also partnerships, which, you know, is work with other stakeholders in education. So that idea has gone down extremely well, and we've defined criteria for the beginning, middle and specialist areas of a career. I think we need to work on that a bit, but generally speaking, that format has been well received, and you know, we've tried it out with teachers in seven different countries.
Mm-hmm. And am I right in saying that that this development sits very nicely with the college's own, I suppose, unique approach in the UK to moving teachers and other education professionals towards a doctorate?
Well, that was being one of the exciting features of the project, really, because we've been working to, you know, the European qualification framework in all this. And of course, level 8 is the doctorate A level. And we wanted to see whether a professional record could be acceptable at this level. So we took on a group of very experienced and very high level people in all sorts of educational fields, who some of them have done or part doctorates in universities and given them up for some reason or another. And it's been a really exciting initiative, because what they've had to do is select a topic that is of particular interest to them and demonstrate how they've studied it and implemented it within their career activities in innovative ways. So we've had people looking at reflective practice, utilitarian education, ethics, educational support, coping with change, management issues, you know, a whole range of issues. And the quality of the students has been amazing. I mean, they all are in high-paid jobs, and so are worthy of producing a record at this level. But, you know, this seems to be the way forward: professional doctorates that are based in a practical experience, because a lot of PhDs, as we know, lie on shelves and never see the light of day after they're finished. And they don't actually impact on practice, where it's very clear with the professional doctorates that the work they're doing is reflecting very much on practice and giving them credit for it.
Mm-hmm. So is the whole idea then that it's towards helping to produce professional experts rather than academic researchers? And am I right in saying it kind of follows from previous models or existing models in the US and Germany?
That's right. I mean, the Carnegie Institute and Humboldt University, who have led on this, feeling that the academic route that has been around for the last 100 years should be supplemented or complemented by a professional route where, you know, there's expertise in the practitioner field that is being implemented and monitored. So, you know, providing expertise at the highest level in education is really important, because it's such a complex profession now, hits so many disciplines and has so many challenges that we need to do this. And of course they are abroad. I mean, I recently was at a meeting in Antwerp and all the teachers were doctors and they were all classroom teachers.
Wow.
So it is more of a tradition in other countries than it is in the UK, mm-hmm. to have people at the highest level of training. I mean, working in Bulgaria, you know, post qualification as a teacher, all teachers have to work through a 5-level scheme in their career, and of course to be at the top of their career as a head teacher or professor or whatever line they go into, they have had gone through those 5 levels.
And going back to the PEEP project itself then, can you say more about how the project ran and what the kind of experiences were or requirements were for the participants?
The project ran from 2011. It's just finished with a dissemination conference at the Institute of Education in which we had MPs and many different stakeholders attending, so that was a good thing that we had that interest. It started with meetings in each other's countries and looking at, partly at the meetings, we visited schools and talked to a lot of teachers. We did a lot of research on e-portfolios, which are being very common in other career professionals such as doctors, journalists, engineers, and we looked at all the research that had been written and said about e-portfolios and got together that evidence before deciding how we were going to develop our own policy for them. And when we'd done that, we had a training session in Bulgaria at Sofia University, in which we all brought teachers from our own countries and took them right through the policy and how you would put evidence on a e-port platform. And they went back as master teachers to their own countries and tried it out with their own populations. And then last October, which is nearly a year ago now, we put all that evidence together for a final document.
And did all the... Sorry, on you go, Rosemary.
A big thing to do, really.
Mm-hmm. And the actual e-portfolios themselves, then, were there common standards, for want of a different phrase, when we're saying that maybe standards are insufficient now, but in terms of technical standards or the content, or was it just certain principles then that led to different forms of e-portfolios across the countries?
Well, we've used principles, but that's some of the thing that's emerged in the feedback, that it wouldn't be difficult to put standards within those principles if countries wanted to do so. But, I mean, the general view is if it was to be adopted as principle for all European teachers, because there is a need for us to develop something, some passport for teachers that people understand in other countries, the view was that the simpler the better, and keeping evidence to principles is rather more meaningful across countries than standards, which are often quite difficult to interpret.
And you mentioned that one of the reasons behind the PEEP project was to address maybe some issues around mobility within and across countries, and I found that interesting. I wonder if you're able to say more about what the problem, that particular problem or set of problems, is like across the UK and Europe, because I see around me, you know, I've travelled to Ireland and spoken to people there in the Republic of Ireland, and you see it in parts of Scotland as well, that there doesn't seem to be a particular demand for mobility in teachers. You know, they're often quite happy to stay where we are. So am I getting the wrong end of the stick there? Is it
well,
is
that is an
aspect?
Interesting comment, and that was certainly mentioned in the feedback from Latvia that it would be very difficult for them to have contact regularly with people from other countries. But it is much easier now with technology, isn't it? I mean, I've been working with schools in Leicester that have been contacting schools in Washington and New York over a communication project that we're doing, MP6 it's called. They Skype quite regularly and talk to one another, and it's been amazing, the exchange. So it doesn't have to be a physical contact. It is possible through Skype. I mean, in the partnership, people are always Skyping and emailing and contacting one another, so it's not such a difficult thing to set up relationships and with other countries now, is it?
Absolutely.
Our technology
and
some schools do it a lot.
I have to ask at this point, John Johnson, who's my co-host, who can't make it tonight, wouldn't forgive me if I didn't ask, but are you able to say a bit more about the actual technology behind the e-portfolio?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Sorry, can you say a bit about the actual technologies that were used?
Technology. It's a very simple platform, but we're now looking into producing a more permanent platform. The technology was set up by our Greek partners, and they're part of the CERN Institute, so, you know, in Switzerland. So they're very used to very high technology activity. So they set up the platform. And at the moment, it's held by our Greek partners, although we do have it on our website as well. But, you know, it's a public platform. Anyone can sign in and use it.
And you mentioned
But we will eventually, and we're looking for sponsorship for this at the moment, produce something that's more permanent and has the possibility of doing more things, really.
Now, in years gone by, I've done a lot of reading and research around educational technologies, and the one thing I would say is that there's rarely a silver bullet. So you said that you'd kind of done a literature review and such like, and do you feel that now that you've gone beyond the dissemination stage that there's really something in this project, and can you say why you feel it's been a particular success?
Well, I think it is the future, because that has been totally the feedback, and also from the evaluators that we had from the project, that, you know, this is the future. And the people at the CERN Institute told us that it wouldn't be long before we could put our information, our career tracking information, onto our iPhones and press a particular button and select it for an interview that we might have for a job or an appraisal or for qualification purposes. I mean, this is the future. It's hard for us to realise now, but in a few years' time, technology will have gone on a pace, and it will all be so easy for us to access this in a very transportable tool.
Yeah, and I noticed in some of the literature was that this phrase that gives you opportunity to showcase a range of teaching competencies. So how did the various participants do that? Was it in the form of reflective notes or a commentary or even use of multimedia at all?
So totally multimedia. I mean, some of them had done lovely little clips of lessons. When we were out in Bulgaria, we saw different multimedia, or it could be just an auditory or videotape, anything like that. Any multimedia is acceptable. It doesn't have to be just written words. The important thing, though, about each piece of evidence is selected, that it has to have a reflection, and also if it's provided for a qualification or appraisal purposes, you will need a testimonial from the people that you would have been involved in just to ensure that it was you and your work. So there are safeguards in the system. I have used the system quite extensively in medicine with doctors, and they were so resistant at first to using an e-portfolio. We're not going to have time to do it. It's all too much fag. But now they've used it 3 years on. They were all saying how it helped to systemize their work. It speeded up their activities because they'd always got... They were always reviewing and reflecting in a way that they hadn't done before, and it made them more goal-directed and helped them to plan their careers more effectively. So, you know, and that is very much, if you read the American research, because they've been using e-portfolios in education for a long time, that is just the message that you will read in that research. So I guess, you know, once... you get over the change and you get used to it, everyone will find it a good tool.
And I would imagine...
Because it's got to have the backing in government. Got to have the backing of everybody in education, from those training teachers to those employing teachers.
Well, but I mean, with that in mind, Rosemary, what kind of response then have you received... You know, maybe during the latter stages of the project into the dissemination phase? You mentioned that politicians were at the event. So what next, I suppose, is the question?
Well, yes. I mean, we'll have to see. We haven't had our report from the EU yet, but we'll have to see how they've received it, because, you know, good projects get funded further and... become part of commission policy, so we'll have to look at that. But we've already had other people interested in this initiative and wishing us to take it further. So I guess it's not going to be something that dies. Other professions are doing it, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My husband's an engineer, and they've been doing this sort of thing for a long time. Journalists have. So I think you'll find that most professions now are starting to put portfolios together. I mean, we found it quite common in other countries, but they were doing it in paper mode. But beautiful portfolios. And what they liked about our policy was the fact that we were systemizing it rather, you know, in terms of the types of evidence and the range of evidence, which they weren't. They were just collecting things that they felt they wanted to. But we saw some wonderful portfolios in places like Bulgaria. You know, portfolios are systematically used by teachers to record their and track their careers.
I'm trying to think where this might have happened systematically in Scotland, and you know, we had the, as you'll be aware, we had the Chartered Teacher programme or policy for a number of years, and that's where all the teachers who were participating there would be building up a portfolio and commentary and reflective pieces and such like. And I'm just wondering, I know the College of Teachers down the years have kind of looked at various ways of reinvigorating the kind of professionalism of teachers across the UK. And do you have any thoughts on where something like this, if it was rolled out, might fit in terms of helping a teacher to take forward their career other than working towards, you know, a master's or a doctorate? I mean, could it... I know you had the Chartered London Teacher scheme for a while as well. It sounds like it might be able to fit into to other ways that teachers might take their career on in the future.
Yeah, well, there's no reason you can't use it for qualifications like the doctors do. You know, they use e-portfolios now as part of their master's programme, recording their practice. So I can't see that will be a difficulty. Of course, I don't know about your government, but Wales, of course, had quite some time been looking at the use of e-portfolios to strengthen this aspect of teachers' development, and they now have got it implemented with newly qualified teachers. Wales was one of our partners, by the way, so they were very useful to us, in fact, because they had done a lot of the initial thinking on it.
John, my co-host, is actually listening in. So he's just put a question up on Twitter, so I'll read that out in a moment, Rosemary. But another thing, having been familiar with some of the work of the College of Teachers in recent years, is that they open up a lot of their qualifications to other people working in schools. And I don't know if this would be whether this is a growing area at all, but you're talking about learning support assistants, etc. I would imagine there's no reason why you couldn't move the portfolios into projects that could maybe address their own development plans.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the College of Teachers, of course, has it on its courses, or anybody involved in education. So we run courses for governors, for teacher assistants, parents even are our own courses, administrators. Not just in mainstream education as well, because we have courses being run for medical educators and medical people who support in medicine. So it's a fairly wide range of educators, which we tend to call them educators now, in every field. And some of them do use e-portfolios regularly. Even some schools do. So some of the schools that accredit through us, their work is done entirely by e-portfolio. Because at level two, if you look on the European Qualifications Framework, level two is reflection on practice, where they have to produce, in order to get level two, a brief reflection on the evidence that they have submitted. At level three, of course, that is a deeper and wider reflection. Mm-hmm. And so it goes upwards with more demands. But it's a good way of getting what you do and reflecting on it for your further progress, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Now, John's question, I think, regards just the way the portfolio is structured, and he's asking, is there any place for the people who the portfolio belongs to narrate their work and reflections in a less formal way, for example, through keeping a web log?
You can, absolutely. There's no barrier to how you might produce your evidence at all. And of course, now that the project's been successful and we're looking to make it permanent, we should be looking at a platform that can integrate all the systems that are available for recording. Yeah.
Now, we're just coming into the last couple of minutes of tonight's programme, and I'll just remind listeners that you can email edutalker@hotmail.co.uk, or you can use the hashtag edutalk on Twitter if you've got any questions or comments for our guest this evening, Professor Rosemary Sage. I'm just wondering if there's any more findings that we haven't touched on, particularly interested in.
You'll find everything on the web, by the way, a lot of the articles, because obviously the e-portfolio has produced a lot of thinking about the issues there are now in education. You know, education in a capitalist society, for instance, has been a big issue, because there the meritocratic case, you're bright, work hard and get on, is no longer the case in our society, where there's a great gap between rich and poor. So there's been a lot on education and change. There's been lots of interest, and we've been asked to give speeches at conferences on these. And you'll find those papers on the College of Teachers website, anybody who's interested. Education Today that comes out this month will contain quite a lot of papers from the project.
Did the PEEP project, was it part of something bigger then? I was interested how you would think the e-portfolios would be the kind of domain of people with a kind of pure concern for teacher professionalism or educational technologies. So where did that kind of critique of education and capitalism come from? Was that meant to be part of the project, or is that just something that came about from the collaborations?
What do you mean, the whole idea?
An e-portfolio project, you think that it would just be what it says on the tin, so to speak, but the fact that there's all these associated papers, it's really looking at some kind of many fundamental questions about education in Western society. Where did that come into it?
Well, I mean, basically what happened with the project is that we had quite a lot of dissemination exercises and were asked to speak at teacher conferences, like they have big conferences in Europe for teachers. And we were asked to talk about education and change and education and capitalism and how this would impact on teachers' careers, because the e-portfolio focuses on teachers' careers, isn't it, and expectations of a teacher. And also it systemizes and supports them in developing their knowledge. So obviously all these aspects about education arose, and also my particular interest is the fact that our teaching philosophy only uses half our brains. You know, having trained as a speech pathologist and working in rehab, you learn about how to use the whole of the brain when bits have been damaged. And in teaching, you see very left brain activities and very little to do with the right brain. So, all these debates have occurred during the project and been part of the dissemination. But the papers are on the website or in some of our journals, Education Today. They've been over the length of the project. There have been papers published in Education Today. If anyone's interested, it'd be easy to get hold of them.
Yeah, I'll put that link up on the website along with the audio from the show. That's great, Rosemary. And just finally, I mean, obviously there's many e-portfolio projects that are currently running or have been tried out in the recent past, and no doubt there'll be more on the horizon. So as great as the PEEP project sounds, and we'll hopefully find out more about it as it's hopefully rolled out in the coming years. But if somebody either in a local or a kind of regional level were introducing e-portfolios for whatever reason with students, young learners or professionals, can you just leave us with a couple of pointers then, a couple of pieces of advice or potential pitfalls that you kind of learnt about from the PEEP project?
Well, I think what I've learnt about this, it does bring in all stakeholders to the whole education of children. For instance, when we were in Latvia, where we had our last meeting, they're using e-portfolios to track not only teachers' activities, but also students. And parents have to respond on the e-portfolio every week, just reflect on it. And the involvement in Latvia of parents with their children's education is amazing. I mean, their standards are so high there. And you think, well, this is a tool that is very useful for communication when it's very difficult to get parents perhaps on site regularly for meetings. They can respond on the e-portfolios of their children as well as teachers. So I think it's the future in our technological world. We can't avoid that sort of way of progress, I think. And certainly I'm a bit a technophobe myself, but it's convinced me how worthwhile it is for bringing people together.
Rosie, thank you so much for joining us this evening on Radio Edutalk. It's been fascinating listening to you talk about the PEAT project, and best wishes for the future.
Yeah, well, thanks very much for asking me.